You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew, the fourth chapter. You know, actually, I started a series a couple weeks ago, and then we had, of course, our Easter service. Charlie Milbrock came, and I'm still kind of dabbling around with the series. I don't know if I'll get into it today or start it next week, but we're going to touch on it. We talked about overcoming by the Word here a few weeks ago, that Jesus overcame, and when he overcame by the Word. I don't think we put as much faith in God's Word as we should. This is not a magic book. That's not what we're saying. And I think sometimes you almost get to the point where you worship this and not God, and that's dangerous because this is not a formula. This is not some potion that we just speak and all of a sudden it happens. This is God's Word, and He's behind it. It works because He is God. It's true because He is true. And so when we look into His promises, it's we're getting insight into His nature and His character. And yes, we can stand on these words because this is what He said. So in standing on these words, we're standing on Him and His promises. We're believing Him. Are you with me? See, because if you don't know God, just the formula is not going to help you. The written words aren't going to do any good. If you know Him, you know why they're true. And your trust is not really in them per se as it is in Him who said it. Now we often say we trust His promises, but we're trusting Him to keep His promise. It's only as good as He is. I could say all kinds of things, but I'm only as good as I've kept my word in the past. My words are only as good as I am. We often say a man's only as good as his word. No, really, actually, his word is only as good as he is. And what they mean by that, when we say he's only good as his word, he's only as good as he has kept his word in the past. See, it's a lot more than just saying he's as good as his word. He's as good as he has kept his word in his past. If he has not kept his word in his past, he's not likely to keep his word in the future. So he's only as good as he has kept his word or not kept it. That's a better way to say that. Amen. So actually, our word is only as good as we are. I hear a lot of words. You hear a lot of words. We hear words on TV. We hear words in newspaper and print. We hear words from each other. We hear our words. We hear other words. But those words are just that. They're just words. They're only as good as the person who speaks them. Isn't that true? And so you have to always keep that in mind. Just because it's in print doesn't mean it's true. Just because they said it on TV doesn't mean it's right. They almost have a disclaimer. If it's a news item, if it's true, they usually don't put it on the news. Okay, you have to think about that one. But, I mean, the point is, when we talk about God's Word and when Jesus encourages us to stand on His Word and live by His Word and eat His Word and, you know, and do those things, He's telling us to trust God. Trust God. You can trust God. You can trust what God says. Can't trust what everybody says, but you can trust what God says. You can't always trust yourself, but you can trust God. Amen? And when I think of the power of this, and this is what Jesus used. This is how He overcame the devil. I like that. You know, I was talking about overcoming by the Word here a few weeks ago. And it's Revelation 3:21 says, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne and as I am set down the right hand of my Father's throne, even as I also overcame." Now, if you just compact that, Jesus saying, "To him that overcometh, even as I also overcame." And the question would be, how did he overcome? Well, he overcame by the Word. You know, Jesus always quoted Scripture, and if it wasn't Scripture, it was when he said it. That's deep. You'll have to think about that one. But that was the weapon he used. That was the defense he had. And offensively, that's how he moved forward with the Word. He would quote the Word. He would say things. He would quote Scripture. The devil tempted him here in Matthew 4, the fourth chapter. And three times the devil came to him. Three times Jesus came back at him with the Word by saying, "It is written." And so the question should be, do we know what is written? We know what the world says. We know what we think. Do we know what our neighbors are saying, our friends and relatives and so on? But do we know what God says? Do we really know what God says? Because now, God's Word, you can count on it. You can trust His Word. And if we're going to overcome as He also overcame, then we're going to have to overcome by speaking the Word. Amen? Hallelujah. by getting a hold of God's Word and standing on God's Word. We're living in perilous times, troublous times. Ooh, darkness covering the earth. You know, the Bible said it would happen. Perilous times would come. But you know what? We can overcome. We can overcome. In fact, the Bible says if we believe that Jesus is the Christ, we're born of God. It goes on to say in the fourth verse, says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ? So we're born to overcome if we're born again. And I like to say it this way. I heard it. I was listening to somebody teach not too long ago, and I thought this was real good. Literally, specifically, in 1 John 5, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. He's talking about us being born of God and overcome of the world. But whatever is born of God, whatever prayer that's born of God, whatever endeavor is born of God, God's Word, whatever God says, whatever is born of God or birthed from God overcomes the world. So if you have God's Word on it, it will overcome, because whatever is born of God comes from God, overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. You can overcome. You can make it. Don't buy the lie that there's nothing you can do. You're not in a box. You're not trapped. You can believe God. You can trust God. Keep hope alive.
Amen.
Put your hope in Him. Amen. And so there's an awesome power in God's Word because of who God is. This is how God made everything. We know that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the way He did it was by speaking, by saying, by His Word. In fact, Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And God said, He didn't said, He said, That's emphasis. He said, let there be light. And there was light. There was what He said.
Amen.
And of course the Bible tells us in John, the Gospel of John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with Him. Without Him, the Word was not anything made that was made. Now, there it's interesting. He's talking about Jesus and calling Him the Word. That everything was made by Jesus, and Jesus is the Word made flesh. 14th verse of the first chapter, John says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. For the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So Jesus is always compelling us to get in the Word. Get in the Word. Find out what the Word says. What I say. What I have to say about it. I mean, you're thinking this and you're thinking that and you're hearing this, you're hearing that. Do you know what I have to say? Woo, hallelujah. And that's what He says in Matthew 4, verse, just want to bring up one verse here. We'll turn to a few others. And of course, I'll quote a bunch more. But Matthew 4:4, but He answering the devil, incidentally, that's your enemy. If you hadn't figured it out yet, it's not your mother-in-law. Or your son-in-law. Or your daughter-in-law, or your father-in-law. Okay, it's not your wife or your husband. Your enemy is God. I mean, excuse me, your enemy is the devil. Slip of the tongue there. Right? Now, see, if I was a politician, they would etch that out and soundbite that, and I'd be all over the news. Preacher says our enemy is God.
Yeah.
You know, out of context, I said that by mistake. Our enemy is the devil.
Yeah.
Okay. How do we fight them? Well, we fight them with the Word. We fight them with what God's. This is what Jesus did. Are we better than Him? Of course not. We're not better than Jesus. If Jesus needed the Word and used the Word and spoke the Word, then we need to use the Word to speak the Word. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Let's do what He did. Let's overcome even as He also overcame. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And the works that He does, let's do.
Amen.
John 14:12, Jesus said it. He said, He that believeth on Me, the works that I do shall he do also. He who believes on Him.
Amen.
The works that I do shall he do also. Even greater works than these shall I do, because I go unto My Father. Whatsoever you ask in My name, that will I do. The Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in My name, I'll do it. Okay, Matthew, I'm getting stirred up. Matthew 4:4. Jesus answered the devil, the enemy, not God, the devil. He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. See, I think we've missed this. We should look at the Bible as a religious book, or maybe a book of antiquity, maybe a book of history, maybe a book of customs and cultures and traditions, and you know, we'll read it as such, or maybe read it as literature. But we miss the point of it being God's Word. And so there doesn't really have a lot of life in it. It's no different than the other book. We could read Homer's The Iliad and the Odyssey, which is written around 400 years before Christ, or 700 years before Christ. We could read Plato's writing. There's some antiquity, writings of antiquity that was written around 400 B.C. Or we could read the Babylonian Talmuds. It's all kinds of things we could read and just say, well, this is history or this is literature. But no, see, this is God's Word. And Jesus treated it as such. I mean, when he would quote Scripture, he honored it. It was sacred. It was powerful. And it was what he used to overcome the devil with. It's what he used to win with. And he lived his life fulfilling Scripture. And the comments about Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were things like, he did this that it might be fulfilled, which was written by Jeremiah the prophet. Or this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was written by Isaiah. Hallelujah. You hold in your hand the most powerful word that you will ever get a hold of. I'm talking about the translation, whether it's King James, New King James, Message, Amplified, New Living Translation, New International Version, Revised Standard Version, whatever. I'm talking about the spirit of this thing. It's a powerful, powerful thing. In fact, you can live by this. You can live and not die. When the world says you're going to die, God says you can live. Psalms 118, verse 17 says, I will not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. That ought to be our confession. Amen? We ought to be confessing that when we hear death. Confessing that when the world says we're not going to make it. When the world says you can't get by, you can't get by in this economy or wherever the case may be, we ought to be quoting Psalms 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want or lack. Philippians 4:19, for my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
Psalms 34:10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want or lack for any good thing.
Amen.
How do we overcome? By the Word. We live by this Word. See, really, when you think about it, if you're saved, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, if you're going to heaven, you're born again. You were, whether you were consciously standing on a scripture, following someone's prayer, responding to an altar call, whatever the case may be, you were standing on God's Word. What He said about Jesus. Because every preacher tells you what Jesus did in His death, burial, and resurrection. In fact, 1 Peter 1:23, Peter says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the Word of God. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. This seed does not, it's like a seed bag that still works. You know, they found bags of seed and corn in tombs that were thousands of years old, took those seeds and planted them, and they grew. That's the power in the seed. See, the power in this seed bag here, well, this is incorruptible seed. Whatever it did then, it still does now. Whatever it did 2,000 years ago, still does today. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. I'm the Lord God, I change not. Malachi 3:6. And so in here, this is how we were saved, by believing on Jesus. How do we hear about Him? Through the good news, through the gospel. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And this is... And he goes on and says, all flesh is as grass, and all the flower of man is the glory. All the glory of man is the flower thereof. The grass withereth, the flower... Anyway, read it. 1 Peter 1:23. I get way ahead of myself sometimes. You know. I got so many scriptures stacked up there. I'm trying to get back to another. Being born again, not a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh... is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endureth and abideth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached to you. That's what it says, my brother and sister. So we're born again by this. The power in this saved us. Took us out of the clutches of hell. Took us out of the power of darkness. Delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the power of the kingdom of God's dear Son. Hallelujah. Wow. This is tough stuff. Amen? This is the kind of bread that will give you life that lasts forever. This is the bread not from man, but from heaven. And see, and that's our problem in many cases. We put all of our faith in bread in the natural. We put all of our faith in the natural, and we put all of our trust and all of our desire and all of our hopes and all of our dreams in the natural. But Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, by natural bread, natural sustenance, natural supply, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Our hopes and our dreams should be in, and our trust should be in His Word, in the supply of His Word. See, we're okay as long as we have plenty of supply in the natural right now for tomorrow that we can look at and put our hands on. But as soon as that supply is not there where we can touch and put our hands on, we get worried and we get upset because our faith's not in what we believe, it's in what we see. And we're not learning to walk by faith and not by sight. Man doesn't live by bread alone. Think of all the connotations of bread. I mean, come on, that's food, that's sustenance, bread, money. Right? I mean, that's what we look at. More bread, that's what we need. More money. But actually, we just need more God. We need more of His Word. And if we'll put our faith and our trust in that Word, we will live. We will live and not die. Ooh, hallelujah. Praise God. Turn over to Hebrews. Hebrews 4. Y'all getting something out of this? I feel a preach-teach coming on me here, so just praise the Lord. That means I'll probably quote a lot of scriptures, but that's okay. You know, if I'm quoting scripture, it's not my opinion. Here's something that you should be very much aware of and heard over and over and over. Notice this. Notice Jesus is telling us now. He's telling us, see, as much faith as you put in bread and as much as you spend time eating bread, you need to put your faith in God and spend time eating His Word. As much sustenance and strength you would get from bread, from eating, if you're starving and hungry and you need strength, you'll get even more strength from God's Word by eating God's Word, by getting into God's Word. As you would not dare go many days at all, sometimes not even one day, sometimes not even a half a day without eating something. Believe me, talked to Ted last night at the game. Or any other guys here. Because we know we need it. We know it's going to help us. It's going to make us strong. Why would we go a day or three or four or a week or longer without God's Word? The very thing that really gives us life, we're starving spiritually. And Jesus is just trying to help us live, that's all. He's just trying to help us go. He's just trying to get this across to us. Come on now. Listen to what I'm having to say. Listen to my words. It's bread indeed. It's bread from heaven. This is the kind of bread you'd eat and you never die. This is the kind of bread that has everlasting life all wrapped up in it. Praise God.
Amen.
Woo. Yeah, Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful. I'm reading New King James Version. Quick and powerful, King James says. Quick means alive. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You need a weapon? Here's the best weapon you're ever going to get.
Amen.
Well, we're going to fight with. I need a weapon. Yeah, here it is, God's word. That's the weapon. I think of Ephesians 6:12 says we wrest not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, rulers of the darkness of this world. Ooh, and he goes on and talks about the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, loins girt about with truth. And he says, holding forth the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. See, the reason we're losing so many battles is we hadn't got our weapon up. We don't have our sword. I often say, when I get in the car to go somewhere, I grab my Bible because I don't want to go anywhere without my sword. In Texas, we want to carry a pistol with us. We got concealed weapons, Can do that in Texas. Yeehaw. But why would we as a Christian walk out without our sword? We're defenseless. There's no defense at all. Hello, without the sword. Man, that's how we win, see? And what he's saying here, he's saying that the Word of God is alive, it's living, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. These are not words on a newspaper, words, headlines on a page. This is God's Word.
That's right. Amen.
I can almost see the devil hates this kind of teaching. He hates ministers to get up and tell you to stand on the Word and preach the Word and pray the Word and quote the Word, confess the Word, and dig in the Word and find out what God says. Really, the devil wants to keep us ignorant of this fact because he knows he's going to get cut if we pull this sword out. We're going to slice and dice him. We're going to win. As we say in these texts, we're going to whoop them. Because if we get the Word, we will win.
That's right.
The Word will give us victory. The Word will cause us to overcome. The Word will cause us to win. The Word will give us life and not death. Hallelujah. And the devil doesn't want that. It's like he's doing everything he can to deceive us, to keep us out of the Word. Because that's a dangerous place to be. Even to go to church is fine with him as long as we don't get in the Word. As long as we don't start praying this stuff. Come on, man. Actually living this stuff. Come on. Guys are fanatics. Yeah, we are. We're fans of Jesus. We believe in winning. We believe in making a difference. And we also know we cannot do it without His Word. We cannot do it without His Word. So the devil, you know, I think of, you ever seen those shows where, you know, somebody, just stay with me. There's like a book, you know, hidden somewhere, and it's, of course, it's like sorcerers or whatever, you know, and this guy goes in there. If he reads it out loud, you know, then the spell happens, and everybody goes, oh, no, don't read it. Oh, don't read the book. And they're running, oh, don't say it, because when you say it, when you voice it, it's like the spell just stay with me now. Okay. I mean, really, you know what I'm talking about? You've seen, you know, read stories like that or whatever. Oh, you know, you don't ever want to say it because that just, oh my goodness, the thing. Well, see, that's the way the devil is.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
He sees you open that Bible and he goes. And then he has somebody call you real quick so you don't finish reading.
Come on.
Oh. Ooh. Ooh, that was close. I can see the devil, you know. Oh, no, he's got, no, don't say it. Because when you say it, oh my goodness, when you put your claim on it, when you confess it, when you believe it and you stand on it, man, I'll tell you, the power is going to start coming. Because now you picked it up. You picked up the weapon. And it is a living, powerful thing, God's Word is. More powerful than a locomotive. More powerful than a newspaper. More powerful than a doctor's report. More powerful than an economic forecaster's. Hello. More powerful than any words you've ever heard. You never heard any words as powerful as this. You know, the Amplified says here, it says that, for the Word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active. And I can't read this without my glasses. And operative.
Energizing and effective.
Energizing and effective. I was just fixing to say that. Energizing and effective. God's Word is operative, energizing, effective, active, all those other things. It's powerful stuff. But it's just like anything, it has to be picked up. Has to be used. So the devil's saying, hey, you need to get you some bread. Jesus said, no, I need to get me some words, what I need. Well, you're not going to make it without bread. He said, no, I won't make it without the Word. Because man doesn't live by bread alone. He lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Well, you're only going to win this deal with more bread. No, I'll win this thing with more God's Word. Well, I just need more money. No, you need more God's Word. Hello. Well, I'm doing this, and I'm doing that, and doing this, and I'm doing that. Well, how much of God's Word are you doing? How much of God's Word are you praying? How much of God's Word are you saying? What are you standing on? What promise is it that you've given your life over to here and you are trusting God for? That's paramount. That's the most important thing. Why would you go a day without that? Hallelujah. This actually, when you think about these words are called the Word of Life. That's what they are. They're the words of life. Not death. No. These are the words of life. Not sickness. No, these are the words of health and healing. These are the words of life. That's what John calls them in 1 John. He says the word of life. That's what the angel told. Remember in the 5th chapter of Acts, around the 20th verse, Peter and John were in jail, and an angel came and set them free and says, go stand in the temple and speak all the words of this life. I love that. Because these words are life. The words of life. Ooh, hallelujah. In fact, turn with me to Proverbs 4. We'll just read that. I want to stir you. If I could stir you and shake you, wake you. Amen. I've done my service, done my job. Obviously, I'm not here to live your life for you, and I'm not here, you know, to believe for you and everything that happens. I can pray with you and agree with you, but my main job as a minister is to feed you the Word, feed you the Word of God. In fact, Jeremiah 3:15, God told Jeremiah, he says, I will give them pastors or shepherds after my own heart who shall feed them with knowledge and understanding. Yes. I love that. And Jesus told Peter, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. That's what a shepherd does. That's what a pastor does. And every pastor should do is feed you so you mature, so you grow. Yes. So you go out and fight the devil and beat the devil up. Don't come down here every week and expect me to beat the devil up for you. I got my own devils I'm beating up. I mean, I agree with you. We'll agree together. The church will pray. But see, really, all of us should get to the point where we're fighting that devil. We're believing. We're standing. We're growing because we're feeding on the Word, and the Word is life to us. Of course, we pray together. And of course, we agree together. You understand the context of that. But God wants us all to mature and grow up. And the only way you're going to grow up is eat your spinach, Popeye. I don't like my spinach. Yeah, but that's what you need. If you'll get to where you'll love it. I love spinach. It's an acquired taste, okay? But God's Word is something you've got to eat. You've got to eat this. You've got to eat your veggies. Okay. Proverbs 4. Why? Because this is how we live. Not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And when you think about God's Word as bread too, Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. I'm the bread that comes down from heaven. Okay, Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Good word, amen. We should give attention to God's word. We give attention to everybody else's word. We can quote things out of magazines we read or newspapers we read or news services or, you know, whether it's TV or internet that we've read and seen. We can quote everything in the world that's happening around the world. But do we know what God says? Have we been given attention to God's word? Get quiet, mister. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Man, I like that. You know, I like to read out loud. I don't always do it, but I mean, lots of times I read out loud. If I can, I'll read out loud and say it over and over because I'm hearing it. I'm not just looking at it. I'm hearing it out of my voice, out of my mouth. I'm hearing it. See, and it's good to read out loud. It's okay to talk to yourself as long as you don't say what or huh or something like that. My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. I believe the Amplified says in the center of your heart. And I believe the New Living Translation says penetrate. That it penetrates your heart. Why? 22nd verse. For they, God's words, are life to those who find them. And health to all their flesh. Woo! Have you want to live? How many of you want to live? Yes, yes. How many of you want life, not death? Yes. Well, life's in God's Word. Right. Life in the Word. Right. See, what we're doing, we're living in the Word. Now, you can die outside the Word, you can live in the Word. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? So, let's take it apart, too. It says, there are life to those that find them, life to those that find them, life to those that find them. Find them. Find. Anybody found something lately? Usually you're looking for it. Isn't that true? To go find something is to go look for something. So if he said they're life to those that find him, it's understood that he's talking to people that are looking.
Yes, that's right.
They're in there digging. You know, I'm just amazed as much as I've served God all these years and pastor for 27 years and, you know, I've been saved for over 30-something years and read the Bible many times, read books over and over. Some books I've read hundreds of times in the Bible. Literally. And scriptures I quoted over and over and preached on, messages I preached and taught and typed up notes and handwritten notes and gone through Bible after Bible after Bible. I go through a Bible every 2 years or so. Just I've got stacks of Bibles, you know, in different translations and man dictionaries and concordances and all the helps and the history and the commentaries And I just love to study. I love to read. But I'm amazed that I can read the Bible. And, I think, where did that come from? I never saw that before. See, it's a living document. This is a living thing. It really is. If you go into it with that kind of faith and that kind of desire and that kind of hunger, it never ceases to amaze me. I mean, I can just be reading and just, you know, I'm not a scholar and I'm not, you know, just a super intelligent guy, but I've read the Bible a lot. You'd think I'd run across that verse before. And I'm telling you guys, my witness, I'll see something and I go, where did that come from? I found something. I found something. But you know what? It's because I'm still looking. I'm still looking for things in God's Word. I'm still looking for answers in my life. I'm still looking for what God says about my situation. I haven't lived every situation. I haven't faced every circumstance. I'm still alive. How about you? I'm still living, so I still need help. I still need wisdom, so I'm still searching. I'm still looking, and you know what? I am finding. I'm finding it. I'm finding it day by day. I'm finding it week by week. I'm always amazed at some verse that will come alive that's so pertinent, so perfect, so exact, so fit for my situation. I think, man, that is what I needed. Thank you, Lord, for just putting that in there today. And it's life. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, you get when a promise comes alive to you and you're going through something and God, you catch it, man, this thing does something to you. It's like electricity. You go, wow, yes, that's exactly what I need. Woo. Wow. And it is. It's exactly what we need. Man, that's the best bread. That tastes so good. Yeah, it met a need. It satisfied a longing in your soul, see. But you were searching because you knew where to go in God's Word. That's where life is. Amen. So he says this. He says, for they, God's Word, are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Glory to God. Turn with me to, oh, man. John, turn to John. John 6. I've got so much in me right now. Y'all getting something out of this? John 6 chapter. Notice what Jesus said, and you know this verse. You've heard this verse. John 6 chapter, he says, the 63rd verse, he says, it's the Spirit, Jesus speaking. John 6 verse 63. He said, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. The words that I speak, these are living words. Hallelujah. Man. We need to have a supply of the Spirit, not just a supply of the natural. We need heavenly bread, not just natural bread. We need the sustenance and the strength and the victory and the life that comes from God's Word. Man, it's not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's interesting because Jesus was quoting, actually, Matthew 4:4, also in Luke 4:4. But he was quoting Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. That's what he said. It was written. It is written. He was quoting Deuteronomy 8, where God was telling them that he took them through the wilderness and he humbled them and he proved them and showed them that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And he goes on to say, your clothes didn't wear out. You thought you were going to die, but I brought you water out of a rock. You thought you couldn't make it, but I rained down manna out of heaven. I showed you I'm God, and I can meet your need in an impossible situation if you will trust me. If you will believe me, when everything looks like it's falling apart, I will be there. I took you through that great and terrible wilderness, and I fed you with manna from heaven, and your shoes didn't wear out. Wow. Isn't that cool? I mean, think about it. Here we are, we're worried about all this, worried about that and that, and the economy and this and that, and our health and everything. And all we got to do, if we trust God, come on, man. Just God can bring water out of a rock. He can call bread to come out of heaven. He actually did. He sent the bread of heaven down to us. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So, it says here, it's the Spirit that gives life, not the flesh. Your life's not in bread. Your life's not in the natural. Your life's not in money. Your life's not in all the things going on in the world. Your life's in the Spirit. And the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And of course, everybody got all excited and left them. That's interesting because really he talked about earlier, he just in the same chapter, if you go back and read the chapter, he talks about the bread of heaven. He talks about Jesus being the bread of life. And he says, unless you eat my body, my flesh, and drink my blood, you'll die. And they all left him. Had a backdoor revival. Really, there wasn't anybody left but the 12. That was all. That's all they had left, the 12. And Jesus said, well, what are you going to do? Are you going to leave me now? And Peter said this, the 68th verse. Simon Peter answered him and says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life.
Amen.
Your words are life, Lord. We can't get these kind of words anywhere else. We're not going to get life anywhere else. We're going to stick with you. That's so funny. You think Jesus would be affected by all this, you know? I mean, come on, think of it. Wouldn't you think Jesus would be affected? He's got this huge crowd of people. There must have been lots of people. But the Bible says they left him when he said, eat my body, drink my blood, or die. Of course, they didn't understand. They were thinking cannibalism or something, you know. They were thinking natural bread, all these natural things. And that's just like we do. We put all of our faith in the natural, and we can't even believe God in the Spirit because we're just so naturally minded. They missed the whole point. They all left, and it was nobody but the 12. You think Jesus says, well, thank you guys for hanging around. Man, I was getting a little worried. You know what he said to him? He looked at him. He says, did I not choose you? And one of you's got a devil. My guy's only got 12 left. Now he's talking like that. He's going to lose them too. You'd think. But Jesus didn't have any insecurities about him at all. He's the Son of God. He was so sweet. Get quiet in here. Jesus knew who he was and knew what was right. Anybody want to believe could come and follow him. But they had to be able to put their faith and trust in him. And I think most of us, you know, we believe in Jesus, but we really don't trust him in situations. We really don't trust his word. I always say that, but when it comes down to it, we're really not. You know, we're not really eating the word. We're not just, it's just not just coming out of us like a fountain. You know, we're not just quoting the word and confessing the word and standing on the word. Well, you know what? God's going to take care of me. His word says this. His word says that. I mean, it's not coming out like that. Because we hadn't been eating it like we should. Hello. Because we don't have the faith in it that we should. Because we have more faith in the natural bread than we do the heavenly bread. Isn't that right? In fact, we'll work hard for the natural bread. Back up a little bit. 6th chapter. 26th verse. Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perisheth, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal upon him. Ooh, hallelujah. How much work are we doing? How much labor are we doing for the Word, to get the Word, to hear the Word? Are you out there? Now, of course, we have jobs and we work hard. Most of that's really working for the money, the natural thing. And that's okay, but we ought to put some effort into God's Word. How much time do we spend going after God's Word? When you face a crisis, do you get in the Word? Do you dig in there? Man, we ought to be digging into it. Matthew 16, we'll close this out. Simply because I don't think you can handle much more. Matthew 16. Oh, you'll love this. Matthew 16. This is interesting because this a lot of this happened in the context of this is he just fed 5,000, you know, and went through natural bread. And, of course, the disciples just didn't quite get it. They'd see the miracle, and God does do that. He provides for us naturally, no question about it. But the greatest miracle is the bread of heaven. The greatest miracle is the Word of God. The greatest miracle, the greatest power you hold in your hands is what God says about your situation. The promise that he has given you concerning your need. We go after everything but it. we fret and we worry until we get something naturally piled up to supply. And all this time, we've got a book full of the promises of God to trust in so we can sleep good at night. Matthew 16, you'll love this. Fifth verse says, "Now when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread." Oh my. "Then Jesus said to them, 'Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees.'" The bread, the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. "And they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'It is because we've taken no bread. We haven't taken bread.' But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, 'O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have not brought bread?" You brought no bread. "Do you not yet understand and remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, how many baskets you took up? Nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many large baskets you took up? How is it then you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, natural, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees?" Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So doctrine and teaching is bread indeed. And there's some bad bread out there that you need to be aware of. A lot of churches serve bad bread all the time, you know. We're pro-church. I'm not saying this, you know, competitively against churches. We're for churches. But one thing we need to be doing in church is feeding good bread, not bad bread, not religious bread, not Pharisaical bread, not Sadducee bread. Sometimes we hear that a lot in churches. We get a lot of traditional bread. We get a lot of Sadducee bread. We get a lot of Pharisee bread. And Jesus said, beware of it. He wasn't saying beware of teaching in general. He's talking about religious teaching. I got one that's right and one amen. The wrong religious teaching will do more damage to us than good. Wrong religious teaching is like the Pharisaical bread. It's like Sadducees' bread. It's bread. Oh, we eat it. It's because it's their words that we take in. It's teaching that we adhere to, but it's bad teaching, and Jesus said, beware of it. Words are like bread. That's what Jesus is saying. And the bread of heaven is full of life. Amen? And if we'll eat the bread of heaven, we'll have life. We'll win. We'll win the battles of life. We'll win over sickness. We'll win over depression. We'll win over poverty. We'll win over the onslaughts of life. Oh, we're going to have to do some things, obviously. But see, one thing you're going to have to do is keep hope alive. You've got to get your trust and your faith in God, not your trust and faith in the natural. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Make sure that you're teaching the bread you're getting from heaven, or supposedly quote-unquote from heaven. Make sure it's not from Pharisees and Sadducees. Make sure it's straight from the Bible. Amen. Beware of the leaven or the teaching or the doctrine or the bread of religious teaching. Because only God's teaching is going to set us free. And the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And this is the Word of God. It's alive. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's operative. Energizing. It'll energize you. It's the word that you're born by. Hallelujah. It's the word that you can eat. And if you find it, it's life to you and it's health to your flesh. Praise God. Well, that's how we live in the Word. Amen. You can die by the world or live by the Word.